Please stand. We lost our general manager. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. A moment of silence for all our first responders and service personnel, please.
Todd Visa, see that in?
Hello, we can hear you.
Okay. Paul, is she ready?
What was that?
Paul, is she ready?
Okay.
All right.
All right, I'm going to do roll call. Director Martin Sanders. Director Diana Moore.
Here.
Director Terry Tincher.
Here.
Director Sarah Wargle.
Here.
Director Robert Link.
Here.
Calvin Lee. Steve Anderson.
Present.
And Chuck Krieger.
Present.
Okay. Approval. I need a motion to approve the minutes for the Finance and Audit Committee meeting minutes for August 17th and the general regular board meeting minutes and warrants for August 17th.
I make a motion we approve. Second that.
Motion to approve the following consent calendar items: A, Finance and Audit Committee meeting minutes of August 17, 2021, and B, regular board meeting minutes of August 2021, made by Director Wargle and second by Director Morris. Director Morris?
Aye.
Director Tincher?
Aye.
Director Wargle?
Aye.
And Director Lee?
Aye. Next, updates from the San Gregorio Pass Water Alliance.
And there was no meeting last month, and the meeting before tomorrow has been canceled.
Okay. We'll table the manager's report since he's doing something else for the moment. Old business, Steve Thompson. Thomas, I'm sorry, Steve. Okay, if you can't hear. If you read your information, many moons ago, the district opted to sever a line, blah, 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 and with the promise of reinstating the line. And I think you're basically wanting us to reinstate the line and hook it up so you can do a development on your property, correct?
Correct.
And did you read over the information about this?
Yes, and I had a chance to talk to Mr. Krieger and Mr. Lilly about it.
Okay. And,
well, I think that, you know, I'll defer to Chuck a little bit, but the answer is, on the one hand, yes, you as a water district have a duty to serve him.
Yeah.
So there's no doubt about that because he's paid his fees along the way. The question is, what is the most efficient way to do that given the current circumstances, the location of this property, in view of not only what's on the ground and what's there and what's not there, but also the fact that we presume if he's going to build something, he's going to need to meet minimum fire flow requirements, he's going to need a hydrant somewhere close by. There's a lot of moving parts in this, and so we talked about it, Chuck and I and Calvin, for a few minutes, and what we appreciate at staff level is direction from the board to sit down with Mr. Thomas and talk about all the ins and outs of it, because we acknowledge as a legal matter that we owe him service, but the best place to do that and the best way to accomplish that in a way that's most efficient for everybody is something we need to talk about. It's not more self-evident.
No, what the hell am I supposed to do?
So, but we'll help him out and get him where he needs to go.
You miss him?
Yeah, but there's different moving parts here. It's not as easy as just, hey, we'll go reopen the thing that goes underneath the railroad tracks. I mean, it's more complicated.
Yeah. So. Well, I thought it went from Bonita up to his.
Yes, it used to go from under Main Street, under the railroad tracks, and then all the way down to Bonita, and it was the supply line.
Right.
When you reconnected all the system with the development that was cut off at the railroad tracks and came up from Bonita, which is like my property. According to the fire department, I'm going to probably need a fire hydrant because I'm beyond the 1,200-foot maximum driving range for the fire truck, and it would be cheaper for me to put a hydrant in at the end of that line, probably, than for me to put in my own fire system with tank and pumps and everything else to be fed by the meter, the spaghetti line coming up 900 foot
of the options for providing service are if we were to do this like a normal expansion of a distribution system to serve new houses and new development. The district has minimum standards. The minimum standard for distribution pipeline is 8-inch. Mm-hmm. So that would essentially result in an 8-inch pipeline coming up from Bonita up Brett to the corner of that. And the reason you want to do that is because right now that's a dead end. And we want to extend that from that end up to the east side in order to have a system flowing instead of taking it up at a different location and creating two dead ends. The other alternative is perhaps that you provide a point of service meter location adjacent to Mr. Thomas's southerly parcel and then run a longer service line up from the south part of the southerly parcel to the south part of the north. But as Steve said, that there are concerns about fire service and some other things that we need to work our way through.
Well, right now it has an 8-inch AC line going up there.
Pardon me?
It's got an 8-inch AC line going up there right now.
My understanding is a 6-inch AC line, which dates back to 1968 when the 68 flood came to and damaged the company system, and they rebuilt it with the transite line to turn it from an irrigation system into a potable water system. And that line used to supply the water to the olive grove down here, but when the reconnection of the system, they abandoned the old company line, which was an 8-inch line on the south side of Bonita, and it's only about 3 from the 10 or 12-inch line, district line that's on the south side of Bonita, and the 6-inch line passes either right under or right below it, and all of that, back in 2010, would just have been a matter of reconnecting that line to the 10-inch instead of the 8-inch to maintain service, and the board was balking at the $13,000 cost at that time because of budget constraints. And we agreed that if I develop the property, they would reconnect me back up. I know the current stats say fire flow would require an 8-inch line, but that was an existing 6-inch that was in the system, kind of maybe you could grandfather it in, kind of, and then I'd have my water flow because that would be the only fire hydrant at the end of that line, which would be clean out and would supply fire service. And in case of a train accident, there'd be a fire hydrant right there.
So I have a question for you two. Is based on what I know of my property, that parcel he's got up there, you can't subdivide that. It's got a minimum acreage, doesn't it? Or is that manufacturing property?
The last zone change they've done, it's been rezoned to multi-use, and I can put two residences on that parcel.
Okay. So my question is why would they need an 8-inch line to feed two residents fire hydrant?
The 8-inch would be necessary for achieving fire flow. It is not necessary for just domestic use.
The fire department told me that they require at a fire hydrant there the 500 gallons per minute at 20 psi residual for 30 minutes.
Right.
Yeah.
So the requirement is that they be able to deliver 500 gallons a minute, which is in the 6-inch line. I'm thinking 6-inch, 8-inch line depends on head loss, as Mr. Thomas alluded to, and that when we open it up there, that no place in the system drops below 20 pounds. That's what's meant by residual pressure.
Yes. You mean the whole
district-wide. You don't want to install something where if there's a fire out here that we have, which is a public health requirement, is that the pressure pipelines be pressurized all the time to a minimum of 20 pounds. So that's kind of what drives that. I think that Mr. Thomas just did an incredible job of conveying information that goes along right with what we were saying about it, getting together, learning and understanding, and then coming up with a proposed solution for him. So a lot of parts, including history, which is very interesting.
I was the water district back in
87.
Oh, okay.
There you go. He's been in Cabazon since Cabazon started almost.
Sure. So
but the thing is that as far as the district is concerned, I was on the board at the time when that was put in that we would reconnect him. The question is going to be is the cost to put an 8-inch line, if, see, this picture shows me it's got an 8-inch AC line, and you're saying it's a 6-inch AC line.
I'm not sure. I dug it up in 87 to help him patch the line, and I can't remember whether it was a 6 or an 8. So
the question is cost. Who absorbs the cost?
In our discussions are that we've got to figure out the way to do that in the most efficient way. So there isn't a way to do it, Robert, that's cheaper than other ways, but he'll have to agree to it. So,
no, I understand.
Yeah.
I want to be, I'm putting my butt in his spot, and how would I feel if I made this agreement 15, 16 years ago, actually 10 years ago?
I thought it was longer, too, but according to the board, it was in 2010. So
I don't know. I've been on and off the board so many times, I got a revolving door here.
Yeah.
So, but I want to be as fair because to him as possible, because we made an agreement, and I have a certain level of ethical responsibility.
And I think we agree with that, but if there's a way to do something, just as an example, for half the cost and still accommodate everybody's needs and desires and wants, then we should explore all those opportunities.
Well, I need a motion from the board to have them meet with Mr. Thomas and do this. You understand the
And if the board doesn't want to do a motion, you can just give us direction and shake your head. Everybody shake their head.
Okay, so we're going to table the motion of approving or disapproving pending further information, and if you would please get with Mr. Thompson and work something out that's equitable to all parties.
Understood.
Yep. Are you okay with that, Steve?
I'll meet with him.
Okay.
Yeah, we understand.
But I'm on your side, okay? Because I made a commitment to you back then.
Yeah.
And stuff. So.
This is Director Sanderson.
Yes?
I'm sorry, I fell asleep in a daggone chair, but I'm here.
Okay.
Okie doke.
I wish I could do that. All right. Next item on the list is draft contract for drilling of test wells. Mr. We've discussed, talked about it, and
Mr. Rook, Mr.
Rook?
Yes.
You can sit right over here, sir, if you'd like.
Did you look at this?
I was hoping to get a little more information about what the proposal is here, to be honest with you, Mr. President.
All right. Mr. Ripps wants to allow, there was talk of drilling a test well for the east side. Can you elaborate better on this, Calvin, as far as the USGS goes?
Mr. Rupert wants to have an agreement with the district to drill a couple of test wells on his properties, which is on the east side, past Lemon, getting to all the undeveloped land is. And one of his test wells is by near Dunkel Spring. Is that correct? And your other well is kind of maybe a half mile east of Lemon. And
I think the wells that we're talking about now are both not at the one at Dunkel Spring. That is not the well or the place that you want to put your well. The two that are on the 11-acre parcel that borders the Barongo Reservation to the north is where we're talking about.
And what he's offering is an agreement with the district to allow his 11-acre parcel for us to drill a test well on this parcel.
Is there any? I'm sorry, I can't recollect the location.
You know where the old casino used to be?
Yeah.
Right in that approximate area.
It's on the back of the location.
Yeah, it's
on
the back.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. It's under
that. If it's past that, too.
Remember the casino down that part?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, just the slab is still there in pieces.
Oh, well, wait a minute. How old is the old casino? I'm talking about the old one on the other side of town.
No.
I'm not
even
older.
There used to be casinos in Cabazon.
That's Jensen Wells Tree.
It's older casino.
It's just
these wells, or there are two wells, and our property is just to the east of the old Jensen well number 3.
Okay.
Capison well number 3.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I guess the question I have is why? What are the circumstances or the characteristics that would entitle the district to drill that? I haven't had a chance to review your very, very comprehensive package of information here.
Yes. We have had some discussions of the potential sale of that 11-acre property with the wells on it. Use of the water district.
Is that the old Jensen Wells down there had water quality issues.
Jensen Well had a water quality issue. Probably came out of the casinos and their operations. We have tested the water from our wells. It is pure as the driven snow.
Oh.
And as part of the package, you have you have water quality testing, Title 22,
out of the
existing well, our number 2 well, which is a 12-inch bore well, was test pumped, and rushed, failed, and then test pumped in 2020, the winter of 2020.
What was the yield?
1,300 gallons a minute.
Okay. That's quite high, what I understand, for that area. That it
is a very good well. And as part of the package, those findings are in there, the test results.
How far is the well that you're talking about from the property that we're talking here? Is it close? The well that you said was 1,500 GPM or 1,200 GPM and had high, good water quality?
1,300 GPM.
Okay.
And has good quality. It's approximately, it's...
Zunite.
It's to the east of the your old Jensen.
Okay. Hi, Lisa. Good, how are you?
Oh, it's 2,000 feet. Okay.
So it might be a little more, but we have dimensions on that.
What?
I can verify.
I haven't heard if it was a meeting, because if I have a well, if there's a piece of property that's right next to me and it's got a 1,300 GPM well, that property sounds pretty appealing to me.
Yes.
But if it's a half a mile away, that's a little bit different, because the geology is complex around these parts. I think
yes.
Everybody
oh.
has heard.
So
there's a few moving parts as I understand it. One is that the district has been rightly concerned about having a production facility on the south side of the river, which this is, as I understand, because of the precariousness of having a single line going down. Is that correct? Or you have two
east line, not south.
South of the river,
okay.
Kevin, I'm sorry. And so there's that concern that it's always kind of been a concern in the last years is that, shoot, if the river ever, something happens with the river and screws up our crossing, serving those folks down there is going to be quite a challenge. Now, so that's, I think, foremost on everybody's mind. With regard to our current pursuit in trying to find another maybe test well location, we've talked to Alan Christensen, who is the USGS geologist who's been around for a long time, and based on his knowledge about the old Jensen
wells that were fairly low yield, as I understand it, and had the water quality problems, which of course is you're always concerned about that. The nitrates just might not be up to you yet. It's a new property. It's just another thing to consider.
Our nitrate levels are quite acceptable, and I've been told by some of the people who failed and rushed the wells, and then looked at the people known to your professionals here.
25, they put their own energy.
You put the wells into production. Whatever little nitrate there are will decline.
I think the challenge with that is trying to quantify the extent and the concentration of the nitrate.
Most of the things you would not want to find in the water just not detectable.
Well, that's good. So anyway, there's that concern, and Mr. Christensen said that he did not recommend drilling in the vicinity of the well 3, or kind of just east of the distribution system, for concerns about water quality and yield in that particular area. So we have that recommendation. I don't know if Mr. Christensen ever has been advised or informed of the information that you have. So, I mean, I think that is something that we can look into, get a little bit more information, like the previous item, where we might have more discussion with Mr. Ripps to really investigate the yield of high quality water that you're presenting. I wouldn't feel comfortable in dismissing it with the information that I have now. But that's, I think, I'll get together with Mr. Ripps.
I can tell you, told me that the only reason it doesn't produce more than 300 gallons a minute is because the well porthole is
too small for a pump to consume.
I have to get it for the pump by itself.
We get 2,000 gallons a minute out of that well. So, I mean, this is a knowledgeable person who's not me talking. We can produce a.
So my question is this, okay, can we just use his well borehole without having to spend, why not save money on the drilling rig, the drilling, all of that ancillary equipment and all that stuff, and then replugging the well if there's already two or three over there that are,
can we just get a sample.
Or do a drawdown?
I think that those are very good questions. I think that you're, as far as what's available to evaluate and look at, that's very, because you're right, it's easier to even if we thought he was spinning a tail regarding the production, we could always put another chest pump in there and verify that, and the quality at the same time. Now the question about, and I can tell that there's a legal opinion about this, well, I'm going to let you do it because I think I know where you might be going. But just as far as the science goes and the information goes, we could do something just like what you're talking about.
And I know what he's going to say. If we do anything to damage his well, we're responsible for it.
Well, there is that, but that's not what I was going to say. I just want to make sure the board and Mr. Ripps, everybody's on the same page with respect to water rights law. Because this is a sub-basin that everybody can pump out of as long as you don't exceed the safety, right? But Mr. Ripps, to the extent he owns property, he might have what's called an overlying right, which is the right to pump water and use it on his property, right? That's the way the law works. If you're a landowner, you know you have a well. You can, but that is not what the Cabazon Water District does. What the Cabazon Water District does is we appropriate water, which means we pump it from one place and we serve it all over the valley to the people who are our customers. And so, from a pure water law perspective, the water that he has in terms of the volumetric, the water right, it's not really worth anything to us because to the extent he has a water right, it's the right to use water on his ground and put it back. Now, it might be that the facilities he has, the location he has, the acreage he has are of interest to the district potentially. That is a separate matter than than who owns the water rights. And to the extent that he has expectations that the district would pay for his water rights, that's not something that we can buy because it's not worth anything to us, because we're not legally allowed to pump your water that you own today pursuant to your overlying right, we call it, and serve it to our customers. We're not allowed to do that.
Does it not become your right when you purchase the property?
No, because overlying rights are attached to the land.
Right, even not, when we purchase the property.
When you purchase the property, yeah, the water must stay on the land.
No, but if the district buys the property, then we can distribute the water.
No, you would pump your own water pursuant to your own water right, because he doesn't have an appropriated right. He only has an overlying right under the way the law works.
Right. Okay, so we have a well up there.
Yep.
And we got the land from the Typhoon Corporation, and we distribute that water to the community.
But that's because you, on the day that you bought it and turned on your well, you started to establish an appropriated right to serve water to the community. You're not using Typhoon's water right. You're using your own.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. So yeah, if the district acquires his property, you don't get that right.
No, you would get it, but there's nothing you could do with it, potentially, because you can't serve his water right off his property. Instead, you would establish your own right to use that well and that water on the day you purchased it. You would establish your own right. And so there's no difference between buying his property in terms of a water right or buying the property next door and building your own well. It makes no difference from a water right.
Well, is there a way to get those, I forget what you were saying, those rights for that property, for that water there? Because
The rights to the water are the day you turn on your well and you establish them in the name of the Cabazon Water District.
Right.
We bought the
boreholes and the property, and we put a pump in and say, now we are going to distribute the water to the community.
Right, and your priority date of that water would be 2021. It would not be something other than that.
I think we're going the same direction.
Let me express it to you this way. To the extent that Mr. Ripps, and maybe rightly so, says, look, I have a bunch of water in my property. I want to be paid for that. That's worth $500,000. That's not the way the law works.
The law works is that
we have a common resource of water under the ground, and for a water district to serve water, it's under an appropriated right, which means you distribute it off his property. So even if his property were worth $500,000, that volume of water to somebody else who bought his 11 acres and wanted to build a new casino on there, it might be valuable to them, but it's not valuable to us because you can't take that water and distribute it under his overlying right, because the water rights law doesn't work that way.
That's not how I'm looking at
it.
I'm looking at it as there's how many wells? Boreholes?
Two.
Two boreholes. What does it cost the district to run two boreholes? One's 12-inch, what's the other one?
It's 8.5.
Yeah, and that there's a value to that.
That's what I'm looking at, the value of an existing producible quantity of water out of two holes.
And I defer all those issues to Mr. Krieger, but yeah, you're right. If the boreholes are worth something, if the acreage is worth something, if the well and the facilities he has are worth something, that's all fine and dandy, provided the science works itself out. What I'm saying is, to the extent you get an invoice that says, pay me $1 million for the value of the water,
you can't because
it doesn't do us any good to get that water.
Fair use, but if I drill a well in my backyard right down the street, there's nothing he can do about it, or anybody, because I'll be able to use the water on my property.
Right. I mean, there is this Sigma stuff going on now that could potentially have some say in that question. But up until today, you're correct. But the law is changing as we speak.
Rapidly,
But if the water right begins at the time there's a conveyance to the water district, you create a water right going forward.
Yeah.
Right. But the district can do that. It has nothing to do with your property. It has to do with the fact that we're pulling water from a basin below. The fact of your having an overlying right, which again attaches to your ground, doesn't help us. Does that make sense?
It doesn't carry with it any superiority.
Right.
Right. We can't.
It's a zero value. What we're after is the wells.
Right.
And presumably the land.
Land.
And because it's in a floodplain river bottom, it's this much, but it's the wells that I'm looking at. Because if we have to sink another well on the other side, what are our costs versus what are our costs?
Understood. So from a legal perspective, I'll defer to Chuck, but you're right. So from all those other angles, it's as valuable as you guys decide it's valuable, whatever it's worth. But the water itself, that's not the way water law works in California. So public agencies always serve water under an appropriative right, which means you can take water off the land. Now let me give you an example. If you'd spent the last 20 years pumping water out of a well and you served that water to a farm you had a mile down the street, so you pump the water off your land and you establish that right that's 20 years old, that might be worth something. But I assume you haven't done that, right? You haven't produced water out of that well and had 100 acres of orange trees down the street, right? Then that might be worth something. But when you don't use it, you don't put it to use off your property, then it's of no value, unfortunately, to the water district, other than from a hydrogeological standpoint.
Sure.
For the facilities, the holes, and the wells, all that infrastructure stuff is always valuable. But the volume of water itself, that's just not the way California water works.
So I have a question about the water quality. The Denson Well 3 is right off the dell, right? And it's really close to all the houses and all the septic tanks and everything in that area over there. Is this far enough away to actually be good water? We all know that there's water under there. We've got Arrowhead came in and is pumping it up, you know? So I guess I would be interested if we could at least test the water, if there's, you know, if there's some...
Agreed. I don't know how long... The district has suspended operation of those wells. I don't know how long ago it was. Of course, if you were yesterday having high levels of nitrate in the old Jensen wells,
this was 20 years ago. Those
days. Oh, I understand that. I'm just making an illustration. If you went out, tested that, said there's high nitrates in here, and then Mr. Ripcom says, "Have this property down gradient." Down river that has got the best quality water you've ever seen and is prolific, 1300 GPM through a 12-inch well. Like, that sounds great, but this plume is coming, right? It's coming down that, it's in the groundwater, it's percolated, it's now with the water that's moving by his property because that's downstream, and we know someday it's going to be there. I'd be disinclined to purchase Mr. Riff's well if I knew there were a nitrate plume here in the Jensen area. Now, if that nitrate plume, if we went out today and tested that and there was no nitrates, that plume may have kind of over the decades moved along and even perhaps passed Mr. Ripp's well. So there's some time distance concerns that we'll have to crunch some numbers on to see.
I can help you with that.
Well, I look forward to it.
I have water quality from 2005. These wells were tested in 2005, and then they were tested again in 2020. So, if there was a plume, I don't recall there being a problem in the first place, and there certainly wasn't in 2005.
Understood. Groundwater moves about a foot a year, horizontally. So, it takes quite a while to cover a significant distance, though. But anyway, nonetheless, I think, again, as I said, I think this is something that it sounds like the board's interested in vetting a little bit more, because it does sound very attractive. The one thing I would ask, and maybe Mr. Ripps could clarify, is so this agreement got sent over that suggested that the district wanted to drill a test well, a new test well, or a test hole on his property.
I can elaborate.
Is that okay? Go ahead.
There's talk of the USGS wanting to run a test well. And so, because he had approached us about selling us the well and the property, my thought process was, well, what if he allows the well to be drilled on his property, the test well, by the USGS. That would serve two purposes. One, if there's water in the area of good quality, and it would prove out that maybe that well is, those were about an asset that the district could acquire. Was that the reason for this? But then there's the USGS is yes, no, you know, there's...
Yeah, that's not exactly... fast-moving organization.
Yeah,
sure. I get it, and I guess it seems like this agreement, draft agreement that came over, might be premature then. we're not sure that USGS really wants to do it and has the manpower and money to do it. It seems to me this agreement might be a little premature, and frankly, I don't know how USGS does its contracting, but if they were going to do such a thing, Chuck, would the USGS enter into a contract with Mr. Ribs to do that, or would they do it through us? Because right now this is written, it's an agreement between Cabazon and Mr. Ribs, but if USGS is going to do it, normally as a lawyer I'd say, USGS, go into a contract yourself with Mr. Ribs. There's no reason to have us.
I would think that'd be the case, yeah.
That's the ordinary course. But they might have special rules. I don't know if the fans it seems to me it's a little premature until USGS comes and knocks on our door and says, hey, we have this money, we want to do this stuff. And then we can talk about contractual arrangements.
Does the public have any input on what has been discussed? Okay. I think it would behoove us to have Mr. Ripp present all his information to Mr. Krieger and do an evaluation. What do you think?
I think it's a great idea.
You know, I the thing is, the hard part about this is we're looking at, we have to do something for redundancy in water on the southeast side. Let's cover both sides,
right.
Southeast. And this may be one way for us to do that and keep the costs in line for the district. The one thing I see is the Dunkel Springs, which is coming out of the mountain. I know that somebody drove a pipe in that thing a bazillion years ago, and there's water still coming out of that thing and stuff, and they keep capping it off, and people keep unlocking it.
Was that a source of water for the Jensen system?
No, not the Uncle Springs.
Okay.
It's a whole different little spot.
To answer Director Wardle's question about Well 3, which is at the end of Adele, five years ago when I first started, which is like 12 years ago, I tried to rehab that well. The first thing the state required was tests. So I hired L.O. Lynch from Hammett, and so we got it activated, and I got some samples, and that's when the nitrate was so past the MCL that they told me I had to put a sanitary cap. So.
And that was 5 years ago we did that?
No, 5 years of my employment.
Oh, okay. So
I tried to restore that well, because when I first came here, I knew the importance of having redundancy.
But that was 12 years ago.
Yeah, so it's 12 years ago.
When can we retest that? When would make sense to retest the Jensen 3 well?
That's why it seems to me now would be a good idea.
That's what I was going to say. And how far is the Jensen 3 well from
Pittsburgh? He estimated about, 2,000 feet in the east?
2,000
feet.
Something like that. It seems like if he's got clean water there, the nitrate should be clearing up. I mean, it's only 2,000 feet between the two.
But it's 5 feet horizontally, about a foot a year.
Your production from the Jensen 3 well was about 60 gallons per minute.
60.
60 gallons, I think so.
If you knew the Jensen system, you'd wonder how that even runs.
Oh, okay. So it's probably a very shallow well. There has to be a significant difference between the old Jensen well and your well. If it was probably
a significant difference, at least the production. By the way, a lot of what you're looking for is already in your files. I have given files to Calvin Louie a number of years ago on the testing of quality on the two wells down there. That was done in 2005.
Okay.
And again, you have them for 2020. So I can provide them again. Happy to do so. And the brushing and baling was done by a contractor that I believe you people
legend.
That's led by legend.
How old is the well that you're? How old is the 12 inch?
It was done in 2004.
Oh, okay. Who drilled that for you, sir?
I think it's Southwest Drilling.
Okay, sure. Out of India.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they were, they was all supervised by a hydrologist and all tested by reputable laboratories. And, so there's no
Lots of information.
Okay. Lots of information.
The package that Ruth is referring to, I gave it, I forwarded it to Sabrina.
Okay.
My chef up there.
I certainly will. Okay.
Okay. So I think we should just let you communicate, and then you can research the USGS aspect of it to see if we can make an economical thing happen.
Certainly. Well, not only assisting with establishing some redundant capacity, but also addressing a single point of service, like you said, from the south side. So, understood.
The only drawback is going to be the cost to the district to run power to run a 300-horse motor all the way up 2,000 feet. But you're looking at a lot more than 2,000 feet because I don't know if they have 480 service out that end. That's the other question that we've
Well, there had been a power easement onto the property.
Well, I understand
which was just abandoned.
Well, an easement is one thing, but having the poles with the with the 7,400 or 6,900 or whatever there, because when I priced poles for up in Lucerne Valley, I was looking at $70,000 for a quarter mile.
For the power extension.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
well, that'll be part of it. I think the quality and quantity is the first thing that wants to address, and then move on.
Okay. Is that acceptable to you?
Absolutely.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Do you need one? Okay. Do you need a point of privilege? Okay.
All right.
You good? Next item is Mr. Oshadiri's concern with the board about water. Were you advised on this, Mr. Anderson?
Yes, I was, but I was hoping Mr. Oshadiri, is he here?
He's on the call.
Always on the phone.
Yeah.
Are you there? Yes, sorry, I couldn't make it. Yes, hi.
No worries. Hi. So if I understand correctly from the staff report and talking to Calvin about this, Mr. Oshadiri had a tenant who didn't pay their water bill, and so per district policy, he ended up paying for the bulk of that arrearage accrued by the tenant, which is district policy. But he's also simultaneously heard about the fact that the state is currently and has adopted legislation recently to help utilities recover arrearages incurred by individual customers during COVID.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have an unpaid water bill, the state might be willing to help water agencies pay for that by the state issuing checks for that. But of course, because it's from the state, it's a little bit complicated, and there's a lot of paperwork to fill out, like everything else, and they only have a certain block of money. The issue, unfortunately, for Mr. Oshadiri is that the state legislation that was adopted that does provide for that, and I think that district staff is looking into that and thinking about submitting the claim, says that if anybody pays their bill, they're no longer eligible to recover. In other words, the state will reimburse you, the district, if they don't get paid. But if someone comes in and pays, then the state considers that a wash. We're good. No worries. We're not going to provide any money from that because obviously the person hasn't paid.
But my understanding is he hasn't paid the bill, has he?
He did. It says in your staff report he ended up paying.
On one of
I had to because there is no way I cannot pay. I mean, I have to leave the house empty.
My concern is I understand his point of view because here he had a tenant not paid him in a year. Or more, and it's not his fault directly, and everybody understands, but what remedy can we do for him? Because if we give him forbearance, not the right word probably, but then we have to do it for everybody.
What I suggest, and frankly I think it's an uphill battle, but what I would suggest is that the district will seek reimbursement through the state for this $1,700 he paid,
And if the state ends up reimbursing the district, well, then you can cut a check back to Mr. Oshadiri for the amount he paid, and you can take a run at it. I'm just suggesting to you that the way the state law reads right now, the state is very unlikely to pay it because they only pay people who didn't pay the bill, not people who did. But you can still take a run at it, and Mr. Oshadiri, with the board's direction, we could say, hey, if we manage to create a miracle with the state and get your money back, and we get the water district gets reimbursed that $1,719, then we could reimburse that money to you if we get it. Again, I think it's an uphill battle, but there's no reason not to take a run at it.
Do you understand that, Mr. Oshadiri?
Somehow, yes, because there are some other bills that haven't been paid. I mean,
okay.
I'm talking about I was supposed to present more houses. This is not only $1,700. I'm talking about $15,000, $20,000 bills here. Like 15256, Pablo Ramirez. I mean, he hasn't paid a penny since January of 2020. And the water bill is almost $3,000. And he's just sitting there, you know, by the order of the state. So the one I paid, because I was forced to pay, otherwise, like 15150, Johnny, he was from East, I mean, Indiana or somewhere, another state. So he came here, he used the house, and then he left like a month ago. So I had to pay, 2 months ago, I had to pay it because otherwise the house would be sitting. I cannot fix the house. I cannot rent it out. So I don't know if they say if he paid, it doesn't make sense. He's paid for somebody else. So, I'm willing to work with them to see, you know, what we can get from the state. What you can get from the state. I cannot get anything from the state. And then give me the money. So there are more property I can communicate with the front desk. They already know that because you have all the bills in your hands.
So what we'll do then is we'll start the process of applying to the state for these unpaid balances and move forward from there. Okay?
Yeah, we can do that. And how should I start? Start with who? With somebody in front desk?
Seems to me, maybe I'm wrong, Mr. President, but he should probably provide us a list of all the properties he owns, what the arrearages were, which ones he already paid for, which ones haven't been paid for yet. Maybe put it on a spreadsheet, and that way Evelyn has all that. Oh, you got that already? Well, you got most of the information already, and we'll just add it to the list. How many arrearages are you looking at? The customer account, like 100, or how many people haven't paid over that?
I think it's 36 or something like 36. That. But I don't know about the ones that have been paid. That's not on the list.
Okay, so Mr. Oshadiri, to the extent you can provide information on which ones of those you paid, so if you have ones that had a big arrearage and then you paid it anyway, I guess that's information that the district's information is incomplete on that. So you should probably, if you wouldn't mind, send us or send Evelyn and Calvin an email on, hey, this was the arrearages, I paid these three, but I didn't pay these four, or whatever it is. Send all that info over. And then when we submit to the state for the 36 people who haven't paid, we'll add yours to the list, and we'll just see if the state pays us back for that or not.
Okay. We do that. Thank you very much.
That's going to be up to us to decide whether we release the use of the meter to new tenants or... How does that work?
Well, your general rule is you're not going to release the meter until you're paid, whether it's from him or from the state or whomever.
So he can't rent a place. If there's a vacancy, he can't rent it until that water bill is paid.
Unless you want, as a board, you could make an exception to that, but as Mr. Link mentioned earlier, you give one exception, you might grant out 100.
Yeah, exactly.
So...
No, I have a question.
Mr.
Oshadiri? Say it again.
So what we're going to do is we'll make sure the list is complete, and when we file all ours, we'll file yours. The problem is until they're paid, the meters are locked, that we can't unlock them per our resolutions.
One thing you could do is you could submit all this information to the state, say he hasn't paid, so it's all accurate and truthful. when we submit it, and then the next day he could come in and pay and get his meters back on, and then when we get the money back from the state, he can reimburse. Because right now the problem is he paid certain ones. I don't think the state is going to pay us back for that because we already got the money.
Okay.
But for the ones that are still outstanding, we have a much better chance. And so if we submit to the state, if Evelyn submits to the state on October 1st, hey, here's 36 people haven't paid, we'd like to get our money back. And on October 2nd, he comes in and pays the bill and gets the meter back on and unlocked. Well, then we can still reimburse them if the state pays us because those are already in the system and they were good when we submitted them.
Does that make sense, Mr. Oshadiri?
Yes, it does.
Okay. So let's go that route. Get with Evelyn when they file all that documentation after you how you guys coordinate those numbers, then we'll go from there. Okay?
Okay. Yeah, I just have a question. When this mandate is going to be finished, I mean, when you can disconnect the customer water? I mean, this COVID-19 stuff.
Well, depending on how our governor survives everything, could be for the next year. We don't know.
No. I mean, if the people don't pay, you were supposed to go and disconnect the water until they pay, and then you connect it again. Is that
right
law?
Now, we're not allowed to disconnect. We're not allowed to disconnect right now for lack of payment. That still remains unlawful at this date and time based on the governor's order.
So
oh,
we don't know how long it's going
to go. Oh, you don't know how long it's going to be dead. Okay.
Right. Oh, I think the current order, I'm guessing, ends on September 30th, but almost every other time he waits till September 28th and then he extends it again. So we have to wait another couple weeks and we'll see what he does the next time. Or a week. One more week, he'll probably extend it again.
You need to get those requests in soon.
Yeah, there's a
okay.
There's a date.
Okay, I'll do that.
I know, like, the initial thing was already sent, but when they give us the money, then it's supposed to, they're supposed to tell us, like, where it all goes, kind of, I guess.
Okay.
Like,
all right. Which account it's for and all that stuff.
So, like, all of them have been paid since we submitted it, so I don't know, like, with that extra money, if that can go towards.
Okay. So we're working on it as best we can, okay?
Okay, I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Thanks. Bye.
Yeah, I wish I could get relief.
Do we need all that written in? Can we move new business number 3, reservoir number 1, and have you guys...
Done?
Yes.
Hello. Okay, thanks. Bye.
All right, have a great day.
You too. Thank you, everybody.
Take care, buddy.
We still have item 4, I think, which we haven't touched on in new business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we just want to ring the second whole new business before closed session.
So we were going to do the production while 1 and 4. Mr. Krieger had an update on that, on their old business. And then you wanted to do which one?
New business number 3.
New business number 2. Number 3, okay.
Mm-hmm. Your tab 7?
Yeah, I found it. Okay.
So would you like me to do old business number 4 first?
Yes.
In order? Okay. Calvin, I don't see the information for Legend on the proposed pumping unit in the tab. Okay. So do the board members have that?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay. So, well, number 1.
And when you get to 4, I got the numbers here.
Gotcha.
Calvin, that's it.
Yeah, that's the one. So, as you guys recall. Well, number 1, we the district let a contract to Legend Pump to rehabilitate, brush and swab and clean up because it's been around a long time and kind of gets crusty. So you can rehabilitate the well to try to get increased yield out of it.
And that's what we did. And part of that work also included furnishing and installing a pumping unit, a motor on the top, the pipe going down to the pump, and the pump itself. In the last stages of just prior to testing, to what we call, you know, a performance test to make sure it's doing what it's supposed to do as set forth in the contract, the district had been running the well for a number of days, pumping the well to waste in order to ensure that the water quality
was
stable. 4 days.
The fourth day that stopped.
So the purpose of the extended pumping was to ensure that the water quality was going to be good. They wanted fresh water coming in the well so that when you test it and go to the state and say, this well is ready to be put back on, the water quality report shows that there aren't any constituents that are in excess of the maximum contaminant levels set by the state. On the fourth day, the pump, for reasons we still don't know, seems to have been subject to a significant surge. And so you're hanging the pump from above ground. It goes down a few hundred feet, 700 and some odd feet, I think. 725. And we talked about this last time that, you know, that when you turn a propeller on that's right down here and it's got hundreds of feet of steel, it wants to pull it down. You know, this, if you can consider
elongation.
So there's stretch in the shaft. Well, they accommodate that calculated stretch by making the bowls of a certain distance so that it has enough room so that impeller can move up and down depending on whether it's idle or whether it's running. So when it was installed, as evidenced by 4 days of continuous operation, that thing, it turned on and it would be stretched, but it wouldn't be causing any friction. It wouldn't stretch so much that it would be going down into the other part of the bowl assembly, overstretching, driving that impeller into a piece of cast iron that kind of encloses the impellers. So we had a failure on the fourth day after some 80 hours of pumping or something like that. I can't remember what it was. It was a significant amount of pumping. And on the fourth day, it stopped working, so we had to pull the pump out. And this is all performed on the presumption that the work was still under warranty. As you may recall, we just last month, I think, or maybe 2 months ago, just accepted the work. Yeah, because all the work items had been completed, except for this last test, which we had, you know, they had operated generally well. So we pulled it out, and what we discovered was that, and I checked with some industry folks that I've worked with for a long, long time, sent photos out and gave them details about what was found. When the contractor pulled the pump, went back to the shop, and then disassembled the actual pump. So you can look at the impeller, you can look at the whole assembly, and it was clear that it had suffered a kind of a short-term or immediate kind of driving down into the bowls, and it actually had caused extensive damage to the bowls and impellers themselves, such to the point that they couldn't turn anymore from upstairs because it messed the stuff up so much. The reason for the sudden surge in force is unclear. And it's suspected that when the pump is running to waste this pond up there, there's a clay valve on there. And what can cause those kind of surges, and you guys have heard of it forever, we used to call it a water hammer in our house, you know, the kunk, you can hear that thing go wham! And so what we think happened was it drove it down into the bowls to the extent that it really screwed up the impellers in some of the bowls. And so in order to get the pumping unit back in operation, there's going to have to be some work done in order to pull that pump, rebuild the part that can be rebuilt. Not all of it was ruined. There's 11 stages, so there's 11 impellers stacked on each other. To get it up out of the ground. So there's some of it's going to be rebuilt and some of it, again, will be salvaged. So the first thing that you think of course, is, well, what caused it? And can we demonstrate, for instance, that it was caused by the contractor's conduct or operation or installation or faulty equipment or whatever it might be? We've not identified anything that would indicate that there was a problem with the installation, especially keeping in mind it ran for 4 days. It was a humdinger. Everything was just fine. So it was just running along. And the contractor was not involved in the operation of the pumping. The district staff would go and turn it off and on at the appropriate times in order to get the pump waste going. So our office, with our research, can't identify anything that was done wrong other than unforeseen some type of quick closure at the top that would cause that water hammer, as I described it.
There's a check valve on the output side, correct?
Yeah, it's not a check valve. It's a pump-to-waste clay valve. So a normal operation, when the pump is turned on, the operators generally like to turn that to a pit so they can get rid of any maybe a little sand that might come out, some air, you know, whatever it might be, before they turn it into discharging to the tank.
So in other words, that valve can either be tank discharge or waste discharge, or tank fill or waste discharge. There is not a closed position that will deadhead the pump?
There is a closed position because there was an isolation valve going to the tank that was closed.
So if that somehow valve shifted to go to tank and it hit that tank valve, you would have a pressure spike because now the pump is trying to push out water and it has nowhere to go.
Yes, exactly. So if that pump to waste valve closed,
right,
and that water is hauling up that column and into that pipe and then runs into this thing that was just a couple seconds ago open,
okay,
it would pose that force. That was a very good description. That's exactly what we suspect happened, unfortunately, because clearly the remedy is, you know, an expense that wasn't anticipated, but that's what you have here is the proposal from. Did you put the actual proposal in here, Calvin? Yeah, okay.
$31,000 to repair?
So, yes. Now, here's the other thing that's included on here. There's a thing called a mid-stretch assembly. Because some people have used that the mid-stretch should be applied at a certain level in a pump, regardless of what they think the stretch is going to be. You know, I don't care what the calculations say. You know, we're going to put a mid-stretch assembly in there. So what it does is it provides a point between where the pump is and the ground surface where they actually hold the weight of the shaft below it. So it's not going to see that kind of stretch. You cut the stretch in half is really what it basically means. So where before I told you the impellers would move up and down like this, well, they're going to split that in half. So the chances... I said, so you enjoy more protection against that long stretch going down into the impellers. It's another layer of protection. Again, the calculation showed, all the material, manufacturer's material showed that this pump could do it without the mid-stretch. We know from 4 days of operation that it did do it. But at the same time, you know, a little bit, it's one of the things we wanted to bring to your attention because it offers more protection against that kind of force that can be imposed.
So, I'm all for that, but I would also like to see some kind of a fail-safe so that if the waste valve is closed and the tank valve is closed, that there are some ways that this pump will not do this again.
It's a good idea. It's readily done. There's a thing called a rupture disc.
That's fine. Put it in.
So for everybody else's information, a rupture disc is you'll have a piece of a turnout off the pipe, and it'll have a flange on it. And within that flange is this thin disc that is constructed to open at a certain pressure. So we could have it if it, because we have very little discharge pressure on the pump because it's just pumping to the tank. So we could provide something as small as, you know, 50 PSI. So if that does happen, bam, it opens immediately. It's not relying on hydraulic, you know, forces and opening and closing. It's a toggle switch to ensure no pressure is not too high. So that's a very cheap component we can add.
Okay. Does that make sense to you, sir?
That part does.
Okay. I
do have a question. So we paid Legend to come and do this pump. We ran it for 4 days, right, so that we could get an initial test of the water's good and the water quality's good. At that point, it broke, and now we paid for a brand new rebuilt well, right, and everything that's included in that, and now we have to pay more for them to rebuild the one that already broke.
That's the long and short of it.
The problem is there's no way of pointing fingers as to what the...
Did we touch it when we were running it for 4 days?
Yeah, we were. Well, yeah, but we don't know if somebody didn't move a valve.
Is there not a warranty on this thing for that amount?
There is a warranty, but what we would have to believe you, maybe I investigated, and we'd have to have a way to demonstrate that the failure was caused by either the materials that the contractor provided or the method of installation, or they forgot something, you know, that they dropped a wrench on the pump.
So, but we only ran it for the 4 days so we could get the test sample out of it? That was the first time that it was
on the
run?
First day that it happened. Right?
Well, we operated in a different levels, throughout the construction development process, and it was working. And then we had it running for that extended 4 day period because the district wanted to make sure that they purged it and got a clean sample. What am I trying to say here? Prior to turning it into the tank. So we didn't want to put any water into the tank that the state hadn't said was okay to put into the tank. And so Calvin and Mr. Woolley said, well, the best way to get the best water quality is to pump it into the pit adjacent to it. Is that a fair statement, Calvin? So, yeah, the why is the mystery that we can't explain. I know that Mr. Woolley, I think, is going to be calling and coordinating with Clay Valve to come out and make sure that valve is operating appropriately.
So how much was the initial, what did we pay to have all this done?
I'm not going to be able to recall that.
100, 200,000? Like 150 to 200,000?
A good sum, yes.
So, have we talked to Legend about this, or are we just looking at it to see why it broke yet? Like, are they going to, we've done lots of work with Legend.
Well, I have, the only interaction I have with Legend, just as far as our participation in this, is, you know, we were at President's shop when they broke it, when they tore it down. It doesn't disable the pump, so we can make sure that we saw what was actually coming out of the hole and how it looked when it was disassembled. Calvin's been taking the lead on correspondence with Legend with regard to providing the quote and that kind of thing. Our office has reviewed the quote. We think it's reasonable. And I don't know if I'm answering your question.
No, I'm just wondering if Legend has said anything about, you know, they're gonna warranty their work or
get paid for the
amount that we spend on it, right? Like,
well, I hear what you're saying. I think
they got people in the audience ready to yell at us because we're charging them too much.
I understand.
And we are a very big district.
No, I certainly understand that, and I have not had any discussion with the Legend Group or the, you know, Keith Collier with Legend regarding the good faith relationship between and long term relationship between the district and Legend, because I know they do, and you recognize too, that they do a fair amount of work for the district. So I can't speak to that.
Have we talked to Legend? Or
I was there with Travis witnessing the disassembly. I think it was both 4, 5, and 6. They had to use the chambers this summer.
Just literally saying, oh, bad, too sad. Like,
I think that they think that they're not responsible for the damage.
I think that's what she was trying to get at.
Legend saying that they're not.
And Keith did suggest that I contact Clay Bell to have him check out that wastewater valve, which I have done. And Dave will be meeting them next Thursday at 6 in the morning.
I have a feeling that maybe a diaphragm may have failed or something and caused the switching and deadheaded that pump. And 300 horsepower of water comes flying up and then, what you're talking about.
Are you worried about us getting a rebuilt one instead
of? No, they're going to reassemble the pumps and repair and or rebuild. They'll put new wear rings. They'll either put new bowls in it or they'll take the bowls that are there, knock out the wear rings, put new wear rings in it, and if the impeller needs to be machined, they remachine the impeller where it goes in the wear ring, and then it goes. It will be, I don't see an issue. Myself, I understand what he's talking about, and I understand, and I'm fortunate because of what I do for work.
Yeah.
And I don't think this is out of line, and based on what he's told me, it was...
Is this is ours and it just broke, would this be a fair quote for the repair?
I think it's a fair quote.
Okay. Is there any way they can give us kind of a discount since it was a brand new unit?
I think that a customer needs to make that request. For me, he's like, who are you,
it's
man? You
don't. Me and Diana are pretty good. We can probably get
him. Up to you, folks.
President, Mr. Krieger. With us having the gate valve shut down to prevent water from going into the reservoir and wastewater valve shutting down, does that have caused the water?
That's what I was saying.
That's what I was saying.
Suspicion
is. Yeah.
So now how hard is it to put in this burst valve?
It would be a flanged outlet.
Would it have to be welded onto existing, or is it your...
I'd have to take a look at that, you know, like, it's...
Because, I mean, if there's a 10-inch flange on there, or even a 6-inch, that's going to be enough to at least relieve the...
Oh, certainly, yeah, I think a 6-inch would be plenty. They're very inexpensive.
I'll bring my welder.
Okay. Well, credit. But, yeah, there is an expensive option for protection, that's for sure. I mean, $1,000, maybe?
Yeah.
Including, you know, furnish and welding and the whole thing.
What was this and what we just did for the repainting of we're finally starting, we've lowered some of the rates, we're starting to get to a point. Is it something we can ask? Who would ask that of us? Like,
well, what kind of a...
I don't know. I mean, they just put it in, right? And now it's broke and they're re-putting it back together.
Well, certainly, you can reach out to Legend.
Yeah, I'm saying the same thing because the amount of business for them, you never know, they just pay.
Well, I want you to think about something. Remember the bids we got from Lane to do the work? They were almost twice as much.
And we've always gone with Legend. We've been...
Right. Because we've gotten lower prices from them than anybody that we've gotten quotes for on a consistent basis. So, if they're consistently lower than everybody else, why do you want to kick the dog while he's down?
Not kicking the
it's
dog.
Not
it
kicking
doesn't
the dog.
Hurt
to ask. Yeah.
I know that.
You don't GDP if you don't ASK.
They didn't acquiesce on the $6,000 on the shaft repair.
On the head shaft.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They did.
I've never had that hasn't come back.
Okay. Because I was the last I heard it was just put the damn shaft in so we can get this thing running. We'll argue the semantics.
And that has not come back. So as far as we're concerned, that's a non-issue.
So they've owned up to their mistakes and taken their mistakes. And now this. Because he doesn't think it's Legend's responsibility, it's a circumstance. I myself would just go with it because another thing is we're down to almost one pump for this whole community right now. We need to get this, not argue over $3,000, which is 10%.
$31,000.
I said argue over 10% if he gave us a reduction, which would be $3,000. I mean, I'm just used to throwing numbers out there.
We're down to one well,
well five, because
well two, we had that
coordinator. Yeah. So, you can, Calvin, the ladies, like you to approach him with a slight discount.
I haven't voted on that. We're just talking. I'm sorry. I've got people over here who are mad about their bills, and we've got $80,000 in mistakes.
I'm mad about my bill too.
Okay. Go sit over there. There's a public comment there. You can sign in. What are your guys' thoughts?
Tara.
I think that we need to pay it.
Sorry, we were going to let you talk anyway.
I mean, it sounds like it was just an accident, basically. Something happened out of our control, out of their control. They're not responsible for it. You can ask them nicely if they can do any better, but I wouldn't go any further than that.
But they've already given a $6,000 discount on some shaft leases,
right?
That we know of as of right now. We haven't been charged
for it yet. I wouldn't push
it
too hard to them.
Because then they'll come back with the shafting.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's something out of the equation. And that's what you get, an answer when you ask a question. Diana? Martin? What are your thoughts?
No comment. It sounded reasonable about the whether there was a mistake or not a mistake. So that sounded reasonable.
Okay, so I need a motion to approve this or not.
Go ahead,
Derek. I motion to approve it.
Which amount? The entire amount or
$31,000?
It's $31,786.
To include the mid-stretch assessment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you want to include that?
Yes.
I think we need to do that too, yes.
That's other than the $31,000.
With a max of, you're saying $20,000, but if we put a max of $2,500 cover, but you...
Oh, you're talking about the rupture desk.
Right.
Rupture okay, because initially we were, okay.
Because now's the time to do it while the system is down.
Yeah, I would have got guys out there working on the piping.
Right.
Certainly. I think
it's pretty what it sounds like is you're going to bolt the T in there with the rupture disc coming out of it.
Correct. We pull it sideways, though, so it doesn't...
Yeah. Work well.
Okay.
So do you want to add some money for that expenditure as well as that?
I would like to see that because it's already down, and I don't want to have to come back after the fact and then shut stuff down.
Or have another $31,000 bill.
Yeah. Right. Well, the other thing is, too, is if we do a hot tap, then we got to dump all the water, we got to clean and sanitize, and this already got to be done again anyway.
Okay. Well, we'll work with Calvin and Mr. Walney to...
We don't need to put the additional in there because that's under a set amount. Just to authorize it. If it's, okay.
It's within the general manager's spending authority.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I motioned it.
I will second the motion.
So motion to approve the whole from the stretch assembly made by Director Tincture, second by Director Morris. Director Sanderson?
Aye.
Director Morris?
Aye.
Director Tincture?
Aye.
Director Wargo?
Abstain.
And Director
Lynn. Aye. Can I say something about this matter before we leave?
Yeah.
How much
did it? What?
Yes. Okay. I will ask, because Keith and I have a pretty good relationship over 17 years, and I will ask him if he can maybe cut the price down a little bit, too.
Thank you.
Or put the rupture disc in as a gesture of good faith.
Thank you.
Like against your knife, you get the extra.
Okay. We're gonna skip the closed session real quick.
Oh, yeah.
Wait a minute.
Except the reservation.
Well, that's what you said.
Essentially, we haven't said anything about well 4, which is also on the floor.
Oh.
That was just well 1. That was the easy one. We have a 3-page agenda. So, well 4, Calvin, you're going to go through that?
Legend has the shaft
the pump, the motor currently, and at this time, we're not really financially capable. I think probably next fiscal year, or I think I mentioned maybe they could finance this through grant money, maybe.
Do we have this?
It's in my manager report, page 4 or 6. But it's $124,806 for the well rehab, and then the control panel, which is full of spotted webs and this pretty dilapidated. I received a bid.
Is there the regular tab? The one that's regular.
Page 4 of 6. Electric panel, control panel is about $68,000, and then bird or skater is about $18,860. So we're looking at $212,000. And I'd like to remind the board that the reason why I feel that well 4 is pertinent, that we at least get this, consider it within at least the next two fiscal years. This at one is the time frame that these two gentlemen advised me about obtaining a grant. And also, don't forget, we obtained a distribution, two production wells, and a million-gallon tank from the mall. Now, the part of the reason why they gave that to the district is they needed a million-gallon surplus water for fire protection for 100 million dollar
upgrade.
So I just want you to keep that in your mind, because it was scary. I mean, when I was down to one well, well 5 on Seminole, which only generates 860 gallons, and that's what they were providing to two outlets, all the business, and this district, and the community, for potable water.
Perhaps I should elaborate on the timing of this, what Gallen was alluding to. The district has secured a integrated regional water management plan grant for that consisted of a number of different components. One of them is the drilling of a test well, you touched on it, history. The second series were one of them, pardon me, another one was researching a new crossing under I-10 so we could have redundancy in the northwest, you know, systems, because right now we just have one.
Yeah, 10-inch line that goes underneath.
Okay, just one. So everybody thinks it'd be nice to have more than one going underneath the freeway. Third component is a miscellaneous well and public plan improvements. Now, the money that we spent on well one, I think, is partially covered under that grant money. I should have done a better job researching that before I showed up, and I'm sorry, but three other wells are also included in this, is receiving money for rehabilitation and upgrading them, well 4 being one of them. The grant we currently have is for our office to prepare bidding documents to send out for bids from contractors for the type of work that Ledden has given us preliminary construction costs for. So if we were to go to bid, if we follow the terms of the grant funding, we're going to have to go to bid, and I suspect we would have had more discussion about these numbers here that are in front of you. But we have money from the state to prepare bidding documents to go out to bid for this. And then the second part of the grant would be, though not currently, you know, in contract, would be to actually have a contractor perform the work. So we think that money is out there in the grants from the state that we have already have one part of, and we think we're going to get the second part, the actual implementation part. They consider this more of a planning.
So that would cover
correct. 4? Correct. So
think that, you know, even though it would be nice to have the facilities, you know, yesterday, enjoying the, I mean, it is also very attractive.
Okay. Also, I'd like to add, just remind you, I have a
46.
Yeah, we just received a check from the state for $46,000 for an application preparing a grant fund, but that took 11 months. So that's why I'm so focused on our reserve, because you got to have the reserve, because we had to pay that $46,000 out of our reserve. And it took 11 months to get it. And there's been FEMA money that's taken 8 to 16 months before we got, you know, received it.
Okay. Late reimbursement is better than no reimbursement.
That's true. Mr. Ocheverry will appreciate that. So there's no action on it. This is just information.
I think that's true. I think it's just a report about, you know, what he's been pursuing and trying to identify the scope of work and the level of cost that's going to be associated with it. And then we want to, of course, let you guys know that we have an agreement that is reimbursing you for expenditures related to this very thing.
Any other questions? So we move on to the new business item number 3 to get so we can reduce our engineering and legal fees.
Accepted a similar recommendation of acceptance for well 1. Again, I think it was due last month or the well month before. This is similar to that. We have had a contract with Simpson Coatings, Simpson Sandblasting and Coatings, to redo the interior and exterior of tank number 1, adjacent to well number 1. They performed the work in the course of the contract document. There were no change orders. And this is our recommendation that you accept the work, and, you know, tomorrow we'll file the notice of completion with the County of Riverside to commence the period that we hold the 5% retention. And if we don't hear from any manufacturers or suppliers that have a gripe with them, then we release that money to him, after the waiting period, which I think is 60 days or something like that. So, it's a recommendation. You guys say, hey, work is done, and we accept it.
Okay. You are liking this, then?
Yes.
Okay. Are we sure about that?
Yeah,
like, we
were sure about
out there, like.
Yeah, we had staff on site that tested a lot of different crazy stuff. But when you sandblast the steel, you have to test
what's
called a profile, which is, you know, how bumpy is it? Because if it's not the right profile, you put the paint on there and it won't stick. Might sound familiar. So we checked the profile, and then when they paint it, we had staff on site to make sure it was the right thickness, the dry film thickness, so you're getting what you're painting for.
How many mils is it, 5 or 7?
The mil thickness? I think it's, gosh, see, now you're taking me too long ago. I think it's around 9 to 11 mils.
Okay.
And they put it on multiple applications. When I did it years ago, the chemicals were a lot different than what they are now. We used to have nice solvents in there.
Yeah, I used to use chlorinated rubbers.
Yeah, see, the same kind of thing. The good old days, we might call it.
Okay. All right, so we should accept that. Okay.
We should have a motion, Mr. President, so you formally accept it if you don't mind.
Okay.
I make a motion to accept the mountain there. The invoice.
You could say accept the contract work by Simpson Sandblasting Special Coatings.
I make a motion to accept the contract work by Simpson Sandblasting and Special Coatings.
I second.
Motion to accept the contract work by Simpson Sandblasting and Special Coatings made by Director Wargo, second by Director Tincher. Director Sanderson?
Aye.
Director Morris?
Aye.
Director Tincher?
Aye.
Director Wargo?
Aye.
And Director Lee?
Aye. All right, we're going to take a... Oh, jeez.
Can I get you guys information on how we're going to handle our meeting?
Certainly. We're going to take a 5-minute break.
I'm not sure I'm going to get those 2 years back. But yeah.
Just call me
and
I'll scared.
Oh, okay.
We're taking a 5-minute break.
I'll call you.
5-minute break.
Yes, ma'am.
This is why people don't come to the water board meeting.
This is
not coming up when we'll be
heard. Right as soon as we, which one are you?
I'm not on your agenda, but I do like
Who's next? Sarah's next.
Sarah's next. Yeah. Well, we're going to have Mrs. Martin, and then we'll let you go ahead and make your public comments. And then we're going to go to closed session. We're not sure how long that's going to take.
We're going to move our closed session to the
general council. I mean, I was kind of excited about what
the problem is that we're paying these guys out of
trying to get these guys out of here.
I don't know if you heard, Martin, but we're going to take a quick break.
And then go to closed session?
There's still a couple open session things, and then
okay.
We're going to do comments, and then after that we'll go to session. I'll let you know.
Just to let you know, I may have to go to a landline at some point, but because my battery runs down after a while,
We'll, if you lose connection, yeah, just go ahead and dial back in on the
That's
landline.
What I might do, so I can charge the battery up a little bit. Okay, so I'll call back in 5 minutes and talk to you, Evelyn. Okay, Doke? Okay. Thank you. Director Sanderson re-entering.
All right, we're still on our break.
Okay. You want me to redial again? About how much longer? About 5 minutes? Hello? Anybody there?
Sorry, I had it on mute. What was that?
Should I take another 5 minute break and let the phone charge some more?
Well, completion report gets a description of the customer.
Let me ask. We need to have it. I think he'll be starting back up in really soon.
Okay. I'll hang around, and then we got stuff, closed session and all that eventually, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. Did you put your foot up? I did. What, you guys want to go OUT? Huh? I just put my foot up. Well, if you want to go OUT, I guess you can. Well, Daddy's going to let you do it. Yes, he is. BJ and Oaks. Anybody there?
All right, we're going to, I think we're about to resume this.
All right, we're going to deviate a little bit from the agenda, and we're going to, Mrs. Martin, we're going to bring you up. Do you have concerns about your water bill?
Yeah, you have concerns about it.
On Friday, August 6th, I received a water bill that was $558.44, stating that I used 500 cubic feet between June 14th and July 14th. We immediately went outside to check our meter, and the gauge was not spinning. There was no leak. I noted our water meter reading that day, and it was 154,614. which means from the time our meter was read to that till August 6th, I had only used 1,414 cubic square feet of water. There was no issues in my reading between July 14th and August 6th when I checked it. During the month of July, we were only home for a total of 14 days because we spent every Thursday through Monday at the river. Sorry, my husband bought a boat.
Break out another file.
When I called on Monday and I spoke with Ellen, it was Monday, August 9th, she agreed that the number was grossly exceeded our average monthly usage. We average approximately 1,800 cubic feet every month. So we were 300 cubic feet higher than our average. She then suggested that it could be an issue with our meter. We had our meter replaced and tested. However, I was not hopeful it was an issue with our meter because when I checked it between the July 14th and the August 6th, there was no discrepancy. We then got our test back, and of course the meter was fine. Ellen then suggested that someone was stealing our water. I sarcastically responded with, what, a water truck? But in all seriousness, in May of 2020, we filled a 10,000-gallon pool, as well as had a garden, and that was up between May and September of 2020. Our average during those months was 400 cubic feet of water. That is still 1,000 cubic feet less than we were billed for in the month of July of 2021. Furthermore, we did not put summer, nor did we have a garden due to being gone the entire month of July. To further dispute this argument, we have no immediate neighbors, and we also have the Ring camera system surrounding our property. There is no way somebody stole our water during this period, let alone 300 cubic feet of water. So I ask, how is this possible? How is it possible that we used 500 cubic feet of water? Nobody used our water, and we had no leak. We were only home for 14 days. Where did our water go? The only reasonable thing I can think of is our meters are being ghost read.
Just for clarification, you mean 5,000, right?
5,000. Yeah, 5,000. With an extra zero. The only reasonable thing I can think of is that our meters are being ghost read. Our meters have been ghost read for who knows how long, and then they are actually reading the meters, and that is skyrocketing our usage. The reason I am here in front of you today is because I have no issue with paying my water bill. I have no issue paying the water we use, and as has been pointed out to me, we are legally obligated to pay. We have been residents in our home since 1989, and we have never been delinquent on our bills. In fact, in August, we received a credit for our bill. Ghost reading to me is the only thing that makes sense. If that is the case, it is unfair that we are expected to pay in the highest tier when we in fact did not use 5,000 feet of water or cubic feet of water from June 14th to July 14th. That I did not agree with when I signed my contract. In my written response, whoever responded to me, they responded that I have not been resident at this property for 30 years. When in fact, the bill has only been in my, or I have only been resident there since August of 2018, when in fact my parents built the home and I have resided in there since the day it was built. On May 2021, you noted that I received a high, or on May of 2020, you noted that I received a high usage for that month. However, that is the month that we filled up our 10,000 gallon pool. You noted it was 1,337 of usage, cubic feet of usage. But to reiterate, we did not have a pool this year. As far as the grass that you noticed in my front yard and you noted in your response, we have had grass in our front yard since the day it was built. I posted on a local Facebook page, and I'm not the only one having this issue. The following month in August, my bill usage was 1,600 cubic feet. Absolutely nothing has changed from the month of July to the month of August, except for I have been home the entire month. I have all the bills in question for the last year to prove that I don't use that much water on a monthly basis, and I don't know what's happening, but I did not use 5,000 cubic feet of water in the month of July.
I'm going to say you did, and the reason is I just had an $800 water bill.
Okay, but that is you, and I have no idea what your circumstances are.
My sprinkler stayed on. What your possible issue is the toilet tank.
No, I have no. When we checked the gauge, nothing was spinning, nothing was going.
I understand that. I'm not arguing about the meter.
Believe me, but you're trying to justify my big bill for your big bill. We weren't even home.
No, I'm not. What I'm doing is saying, you know, if the tank flap leaks and you're gone, and the tank is constantly draining and filling and draining and filling, and somebody goes in the bathroom when you come home, and flushes, and then it seeps, you're not going to notice an issue. Because
so
that is another where place where water
issue
can go.
Magically fix itself?
They do at times.
At times.
You know,
like
the
you're
thing
speaking
is
to me on a theoretical basis that theoretically this happened, but when we came home between Tuesday and Thursday every single week, we were not having any issues. Like the toilet didn't run in between them. Even if that was the case, we would have caught it when we were home for those 3 days before we left for the next four. You see what I'm saying? Like we weren't consistently gone for the entire month. We were coming home Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and then we were leaving Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday because we do not drive that traffic on Sunday, so we would come home Monday. So we would have caught it or flushed the toilet and it would have fixed itself in that time. So if that's your theory, in 3 days the toilet ran 500 cubic feet of water.
Yeah.
Well, 500,000.
Oh,
5,000. 5,000 cubic feet of water.
I'm not just saying that is the reason. I'm saying that is a potential reason.
And then how is your septic tank on that? Because the water goes somewhere.
Right. It goes into the leach field.
Right. Like, I filled a 10,000 gallon. I'm talking this pool is huge. Like, we, honest to God, should have just bought a built-in pool.
5,000 cubic feet of water is
1,300 and something when it comes to a $10,000 gallon
pool. No, I'm talking about gallons of water.
Uh-huh.
7 gallons per cubic foot of water. So multiply your 7 times five.
Calvin Louie did it for me.
37,000.
Yeah. Like,
uh-huh.
So there is no way that we use this much water per month. There's just no way. Like, it had to go somewhere. Like, they told me somebody stole my water.
Well, they said maybe.
Right.
They're offering suggestions. They're not directly saying. The thing is you're saying that my $800 water bill does not equate to yours. So the other one I had that was $470 because the water line had a pinhole in it on my side of the meter.
We actually just had our home appraised, and they have checked our entire house, including our leak lines, including everything, because we are selling, and we have no issues. And then why would it just stop? Like, we didn't fix the problem.
I can't answer that.
But what I need you to answer for me is, how did we use 5,000 cubic feet of water? We didn't fix the problem. We haven't had any leaks, we didn't fill any pools. Like, we used 4,000 cubic feet of water when we filled our 10,000 gallon pool. We had an amazing garden. Then that was our average use, which I didn't complain to, I didn't care about. Like, if I used that water, I have zero problems paying it. We didn't raise an issue one time when we filled a pool. We knew we were filling a pool. Like, those are the consequences of filling a pool. But this year we did nothing. And then in August, magically my bill's right back down to normal once I started complaining.
I have a question. You said when you got the bill, you went outside and read your meter.
Yes.
And that was in your statement. What did your read of the meter say when you got home and got the bill?
So when I received the bill, we were
not
at...
Not the bill. You said you went out and looked at the
bill. Okay, when I looked at the bill, we were at $154,614.
Okay. Okay, so that was, you went out to the meter.
That's what I went out to. We went out to make sure we didn't have a leak. That was our knee-jerk reaction to the bill. Like, obviously, we have a leak. The gauge must be spinning, you know. So we went out there, and that wasn't an issue.
Okay. So it matched with what it said.
And that, so in those 24 days, we used 1,414 of the cubic feet of water, which is in the average of our monthly bill. Like, we were right back to normal outside of our July bill.
Mr. President, if I may, if we take 5,000 cubic feet
over
a month, that's really what we're talking about.
Yeah, it could be a weed grower and use less.
So 5,000 cubic feet a month, as we said, 37,500 gallons. 37,500 gallons per month divided by 30 equals about 1,200 gallons a day. Divided that by 24, that equals about 52 gallons an hour, and divide that by 60, that equals 0.9 gallons per minute. So that's if it were a constant leak source, whatever it is, 0.9, 1 gallon a minute. That's the flow we're talking about, to equate to the amount of water that is in question.
It's
24/7.
Yeah.
24/7. Yeah. The whole, all day, every day, for 30 days.
Right.
1 gallon a minute. If it, assuming that it was some kind of single source loss.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I wasn't just saying it was, that was the source. I was saying that is one source. As an example, my bill was $800 for 1 week while I was gone on vacation that the sprinklers ran out in the front that run for just a little cactus garden.
But you knew what your issue was.
Right.
I know what my issue was.
Well, and furthermore, I went back on my cameras and I have looked on the 14th of every month and I went minute through minute. Not every month is my meter getting red. Like, I can go back on my cameras. I can prove anything you need to see on those 14th. I have the rings. We go back since the day I installed the rings. I'm not getting red every single. Then half the time, my meter is full of dirt from the gophers. Like, so how are they reading my meter? And then it was suggested that maybe I have this scan meter where they can go up and scan it. And then when Ellen looked into it, Ellen told me, no, you have the oldest meter. So I genuinely, like, that's why I'm here. I've tried with the water district. I tried with Calvin Louie, and now I'm here because there's something not right about this. And if they are ghost reading it and then they do read me, why do I have to pay in the highest tier? It's not fair.
No, I agree. No, I'm not, but you said how could I use this much water, and I'm saying there are these points, these things, this thing,
right,
this thing.
But I wasn't gone, if I was gone consecutively throughout the month, then maybe theoretically we can play ball with that. But I wasn't. We were home 3 days a week. There was no water overflowing. There was no sprinkler issue. There was no nothing. And if there was a sprinkler issue, it wouldn't have just magically fixed itself. It would have continued on to my next bill. Like, we haven't replaced the sprinkler. We haven't replaced anything.
And I can attest to her being gone throughout the week and coming home because I do know her personally. And I do know that she was going out to the river several days a week.
Okay. Well, here is the problem. We have a resolution that says one thing. How do we resolve? How do we?
What does the resolution say?
That they're responsible for all water going through the meter.
Which is fine, but why am I responsible at the highest tier if I didn't use it consecutively over that month? If you want to break me down and say this is what you owe, it came through, then put me in my average tier, and I'll gladly pay that.
I understand what you're saying, and it makes sense. The one thing I cannot argue for or against is what you're saying about the meter, and I believe you about the camera.
Right.
And I've heard tales of this once in a while. I don't know that it's a consistent issue, but the supposed ghost reading or...
My mom used to work at the water district, and she said it used to happen all the time when she was there. And this was years and years ago. Like, it is what it is. People have been fired for it. Like, it's not a hypothetical, like, it's possible. Like, it's possible that somebody, especially if more than just me, are having this problem. Like, you can see my average on my bills, and my July is just out of nowhere skyrocketed, where my June and May and April are below my normal. It just doesn't make sense. That's why I had them go ahead and print out all the bills for me, so you guys can see there's an issue here.
Did it say on those bills what day the meters were read?
The 14th of every month.
Okay, would you do us a favor?
Uh-huh.
How long have you had your Ring cameras?
Well, maybe 2 a year.
Okay, so you can get me 12 of those dates or within 4 or 5 days of that date?
Mm-hmm. First question, Calvin, does the date that it says prior date, is that the day that they read the meter?
So
on the bill statement, on the usage report, where it's got month over month and it's got the prior date, is that the date that they're saying that they read the meter?
The meter?
It says it on the prior date and also on the current date.
Okay, so that's the date that they're saying that they go and read the meter. Those would be the days that I want video.
So when I'm looking at my bill where it says,
I don't know what the bill, but there's this, which is the usage report.
It says current red 513 on May.
Yeah, so it's got 513, 614. It's got the actual dates that we're saying we went out there. Mm-hmm.
Those are the dates you can look on the camera.
Yeah.
You see them on right here.
Okay. I don't want you to try and bring them up.
Oh, my God, I'm stressed out.
Yeah. No, would you? I would like to table this for the moment.
Okay.
And I would like to see what you have that says that during the hearing. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I understand that, but let's just say for giggles, it was read. Let's say it was read every single month, just for sake of argument. Where did the water go?
I cannot answer that.
But neither can I, and you guys expect me to blindly pay this. If this was $20 here and $30 here, I wouldn't have batted an eye. But when my average bill is like $200 and then you send me a $535 bill, that's going to raise some eyebrows. It's not within a few dollars. And then it shows when I filled my pool up in August, I was under 4,000 cubic feet. That's a 10,000-gallon pool. But now they want to tell me I'm at 5,000. So that's 10,000 more than my 10,000-gallon pool. I don't understand. Like, there's an issue here. It needs to be looked into, and it needs to be addressed. Because I'm not the only person. I'm just the only one that showed up. And I understand that that's an issue in itself. But if you go onto the Cavalon Facebook page, I posted my problem, I posted my water bill, and we probably had 20 people on there that were like, I'm having the same problem.
Because
I
tagged all three of us.
I tagged you, I tagged all three of us in that post, because it's an issue.
And we can't respond because I can't be...
Right, and I don't expect you to respond, but when I'm telling you, hey, there's 20 people with the same problem, and...
Oh, I read it.
Right, no one else sees it, then that was my intention. It wasn't to... But there's an issue going on, and I'm not the only one. But to pay a $535 bill is ridiculous. If I used it all day long, but I didn't use it.
No, it's just I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah, like, it says my bill was 138, 117, 125, 102, 204, 1, and this is coming into summer months, so 204, 191, and then all of a sudden it's $558.44, and then I go right back down to 102 with no change. Like, there was a sprinkler issue, there wasn't a sprinkler
issue. The only issue that I'm seeing is that the meter actually read that. So if you came in here last month, I would have said, when you test the meter.
They test the meter. The meter did come back fine. That's why I'm saying, like, the only thing I can reach to is the ghost reading. Like, and that is my own personal theory of what is going on. But they tested the meter came back fine. But my other issue is when they read the bill on August 14th, and then I received it on July June 14th, and then I received it on July 6th. We immediately went out, and I had only used 1,400 cubic feet of water. Okay. That was before we even knew that there was an issue. So what?
Well, how are you saying you only used 1,400 cubic feet of water?
Because I used the reading on my bill to the reading that was at that time.
Can I find the bill?
No, because
if it doesn't match this, then there's an issue.
So there's where I wrote what the current one is prior, and then there's that one. And like I said before, when we filled up our pool and we knew that we were going to be in the higher tier, like, I have zero issues paying.
The rate changed from last summer to this summer. And the rate went They went to a different rate plan that gave the rest of the majority of
the But then it changed from May, June, July, or August, or
no,
April, May, June to all of a sudden July, and then back down August, September, October.
But the more water you use, the higher rate that you're
getting. Right,
the higher
but that's what I'm saying. That's my issue, is if it's not getting read every month, and they're estimating my usage, when they finally come out and read it, say I was 20 over every single month, and they finally come out and read it, and all of a sudden I'm way up here, and now I'm expected to pay in the higher tier, where it should have been evened out all the months prior.
No, I understand, too.
Yeah, because it jumps quite a bit into the third tier.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I know.
And
can I ask a question, Mr. President? Because there's something that she said that we haven't really explored that I thought might be of use. So I think what you said before was, and if you look at this sheet that Calvin just handed out, that if you had been charged instead of the $12.84 for being in the highest tier, but rather anything over 700 cubic feet, 100 cubic feet, was charged at the second tier, you would have less of a problem with this. So if you've been charged for everything between 700 cubic feet and 5,000, if you've been charged at the $7 rate rather than the $12.84 rate, I think what you said was you'd have much less of a problem. It's really this extra $5.84 a unit because it's the highest tier that's giving you the greatest heartburn. I just want to make sure I heard
I mean, in 100% honesty, I would love that first tier all day long. Like, if we could argue that, but that's not
the
case.
The state doesn't want it.
Right, but the case is I consistently stay over month and month and month, and that second tier, my usage, it does go over to, like, almost the 2,000 range. And then when we use it, it is what it is. But when I don't use it, now you're charging me thousands of cubic feet at this 14.
No, but and I agree with you, but I think what you said earlier, and please correct me, was that you would potentially not feel so bad about this matter if you were charged, and again, I don't want to put words, I think you said, you didn't have the numbers for me, but if you said, hey, if you guys had just charged me $7 a year, 5,000, that would give me a lot less heartburn. Then it's because you've charged me $12.84, that gives me a lot of heartburn.
That's not what she's saying.
That's not what she. I thought she said that a while ago.
No, what she's referring to is if they're reading the bill, reading the meter on a consistent basis accurately,
right.
And she would be in the, if you look on average, it's about 1,500 cubic foot on average through the year. All of a sudden, this one meter reading is like this, like somebody actually read the meter instead of estimating.
I understand.
So, if there
had been someone actually reading the meter, there wouldn't be this ghost meter, then she would have been charged all this water in the second tier rather than the third.
Yes. Yes.
And so what I'm trying to get at is if she were to pay her bill and assume that that bill, rather than being $500, was something less because you take off the $5.84 for the extra surcharge, you might call it. I'm just suggesting, I'm asking her whether that is what she's proposing. So instead of paying $550, if we did the math and it turned out that was really $328, you would be satisfied. Is that what you're proposing? That's what I'm asking.
I think that it is grossly unfair that it's going from $2 to $7. And I think it should be averaged out. Like in the month that, say we take that total number and we average it out, like I don't use consistently the second tier every month or exceeding the second tier at that rate. So I honestly don't think that that is, if it was a difference of $2, $3, but we're talking a $5 difference, which when you're talking that much, it adds up. I just don't understand, I guess. I don't understand how this doesn't average out. Like if I was home, if I filled a pool, if I X, Y, and Z, whatever, then fine, I used this tier. But I didn't use this tier.
Oh, I understand. I guess what I'm just trying to frame for the board, and I'll step back and let you guys resolve it, is I think this is probably only a $200 dispute. It's not a $500 dispute.
Right. Like
right.
If
maybe you guys all understand that, but I didn't want to put it in perspective.
If we get into my average monthly bills or whatever, like I personally think my bill should have been less just because I wasn't home in July, where you could see my August bill, I was home every single day in August. I was not home every, so I do think my July bill should have been less. But when we're going tit for tat, like, I'm okay with paying justly what I use.
I think, well, if I'm looking at all the bills, I only see one of the bills in the past. And when did the water rate go into effect? January? The new
March.
Rate. March? Okay. So that doesn't go into effect. And so on the March bill, she should have been in the new rate, right? Okay. So there's only, so out of the one, two, three, four, five months, it's consistently falling into the
second tier or third,
third tier. Yeah,
we always top off in the third tier. Like we're right at that little cusp.
And then it's summer. Yeah.
Right. So sometimes we're under, sometimes we're over, but now we're skyrocketing.
So, okay, if we table it, the good thing right now is that since COVID, there's no penalties, right? So there's no penalty fees being interest.
I've paid my August bill. Like, I'm going to pay my bills as due, but I'm still getting the July and Tom told otherwise.
Okay. So if we table this and maybe give you a chance to look at the, see if on these days if it was red or not, I don't know if that, I mean, that's a lot of work, but that's...
Honestly, I don't know how to do it other than just show you my ring and you can scroll over to it. Like, even if you sent me home to figure it out, I don't know how to, like, save those days on a separate section. Like, I've never had an issue before. I mean, like, I can show you my ring and we can scroll through it. Okay, and you can minute by minute it like I did. Like, unless they have, like, hey, read it at this exact time, we're going to have to scroll through that day.
So,
maybe
you want to
do that?
Okay, so let me throw something out and think about it. Understand what you're saying. Okay, so if we throw out the first three here, which is January, February, and March. You had 1,400 in April, 2,200 in June, or May, April, May, June, 2,100 in June, then the 5,000. Okay? So those three particular months, you were already at second tier.
Uh-huh.
Or you were second and third tier. Where I'm coming from? Do you see
that?
No,
I see you.
So, if the meter was ghost red, and I'm just going to use those 3 months as an example, you would still been in the third tier on all 3 months.
Right.
The first 3 months I can't attest to in the respect of the dollar amount. But
right.
If from the first of the year, so for 6 or 7 months, they ghost red your meter, you would still, instead of being dispersed through the month, it just got lumped into 1 month,
uh-huh.
Which is not fair, not right, and I understand. I have a thought process of a compensation or reduction to a certain point,
uh-huh.
But it's not going to be down to $200 like some of your bills are. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not trying to
you know, he brought up a good point about 9/10 of a gallon a minute.
Right. So it's a ton of water. Like, that's what, when I realized that we filled a 10,000 gallon pool and we were still under 4,000, mm-hmm. so when she told me, like, I was being sarcastic, but if they stole my water, they stole it in a water truck. They're not coming by with cups or, like, that's a lot of water we're talking.
Yeah. Number one, make an exception here. Other people on the community are going to make an exception.
Uh-huh.
Number two, to defend my employees towards her allegation, I get the allegation about once every 4 to 6 months about ghostwriting. My guys do not ghostwriting.
And can you explain this?
It's my turn to speak.
Why is he allowed to talk like that?
Wait a minute.
Nobody has been rude until this very second.
When we all have a level of defense, a defensive nature. I understand where you're coming from, and
I just don't appreciate his tone when I feel like he should be in a professional setting right now. I feel like he should represent himself as professional.
I get a complaint every 4 to 6 months, at least one person about ghost reading. They say the dirt is completely covering your roof. I would go out there with them witnessing, do the water check, take all the dirt out, and usually within 3 weeks, all the dirt fills back up. I've had a couple actually come back and apologize about the complaint. And the reason why, we have no cement shoulders. So when you have tremors from earthquake, vehicles driving up and down, and our soil is very porous, that dirt fills back in. And if you don't believe me, you can read the meters with my guy.
First of all, you also have rodents, and you have squirrels, and you have gophers, and I'm not attesting to them. So if you're going to put all this into things, let's put all it out there. There's squirrels. We have squirrels in our yard. There's gophers. Like, I've lived in Cavalon for 35 years.
And my guys, they actually have hand shovels, trawls, when they're reading the meters. But again, it fills back up. As far as the leak is concerned, I can't explain for her, but I know what our distribution system, the water leaks and goes to the forest end. It's got to saturate the ground so much before it starts actually bubbling up or showing up above ground.
That is fine, but somebody would have had to fix the leak in order for my next month's bill to be back on track. We would consistently have a high bill. It doesn't magically fix itself.
So from our distribution system.
Right, but you were saying that when there's a leak, it saturates into the ground, and within your distribution center, whoever it is, goes out and they fix that leak, they solve the problem, and then you're right back on track. I went right back on track without fixing a leak. I went right back on track without anything. Like, I'm not disputing my entire bill. I'm specifically disputing my July bill. My August bill, you can see my August bill, I am below my average usage. And I was home the entire month of August.
I'm just using an example of what about the worst.
Okay.
I'm defending my guys with your allegation.
No, when she talked about it, she actually said, it fills back up with dirt. There's gophers.
She was quoting
what other people in Cavalon were saying at that point.
She wasn't accusing them of it. She said the only thing she could think of is maybe that's happening. It was a suggestion.
So,
and for you as an employee, like, we can't assume that our employees are always right. Like, you have to see this with a critical eye. You have to look at this critically and say, there's something not right here. Like, maybe half the time they are right. Maybe they had a bad day. Maybe whatever it is, like, you have to critically look at this as a manager, as somebody responsible for our community, and see this with a critical eye. You can't come at me defensively when there's an issue and I'm bringing it to your attention. I tried to address it with you. I tried to address it. And instead of saying something, you said, well, you haven't resided at that house for 35 years. You've only been there since September of 2018. No, sir, that is not correct. My parents own that house, and I bought it from my parents. The bill has been in my name since that date. Like, you came at me aggressively from the beginning. It is all in my letter that you sent back to me. Like, that's not up for dispute.
Okay. I observed.
All right, well, hold it. No. We need to tone this down a little bit, and Mrs. Borgo, please, you have a question.
Okay. I have a question and a statement. So, Calvin, I understand the letter that went back and forth. I read the letter in the workbook. I don't think that was up for dispute whether you lived at the house or not, and you said you resided in Kathmandu. Okay. But what I do think is if you're getting a report every 4 to 6 months that we're having ghost readings, please bring it to the board's attention. I haven't been made aware of that. I've read about it, but this first person bringing it to the board. Just like with anybody who has a bill, consistently, I've given them chance after chance. If they want to dispute the water bill, come to the board meeting. They don't show up. Give them another chance. Give them another chance, then this one says, hey, we're done. So she's come to the board. She's saying this. So if she has camera footage, I'm willing to sit down and look over camera footage with her if the board's okay with that, and look to see if these are the dates that the guys are reading them, or you tell me whatever dates that they did read them, we'll go through the footage and look at it. And then if they're reading them and this is the day they're reading them, then we'll see them on the camera. But this is the first time it's been brought to the board's attention. I'm not accusing the guys of ghost reading. I'm saying we have actual camera footage of, you know, it's a new world. Everybody's got this footage.
And I'm completely okay with sitting down with you and going through my camera. Like, I have nothing to hide in this situation. Like, we can count the days I was home. We can do whatever we have to do to prove that there's an issue here. Because at the end of the day, there's an issue here. And that's why I came today. And it's to bring light to the fact that there is an issue. It's not the fact that I don't have the money. Like, it's not that. It's not the fact that I've consistently laid on the bill and I consistently have this problem. I've always paid my bill on time without an issue. Like, this is, it's not a $20 discrepancy. It's not a $100 discrepancy. Like, we're talking up like $200. Like, it's enough to raise an eyebrow, and that's why I came here, because I think unitedly we can raise an eyebrow. Like, something's going on and it's worth looking into.
No, and I get the point that if the allegation is correct that it is a ghost read, and that it would have still been in the third tier for most of the month, but it would have been more evenly just
right, when you just
$60
skyrocketed
there, and you know, $30 extra here.
I think that's exactly the truth. It would have just been spread out over the months evenly. Correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So
I agree.
So we table this and you look at the videos.
Do you want just me, or is it a committee action?
Well, she can't.
I can't, because we're friends.
You can't be objective?
Oh, yeah. I just didn't know.
No, Dana will put me in my place in a hot second.
I didn't know there would be a conflict of interest.
I mean, I think the camera's going to speak for itself.
Right, yeah, you can't. I can't.
I don't think there needs to be a
committee.
No. You'll take a screenshot of the camera and it'll show, or if there's a guy there.
I'll video it on this.
Yeah.
I can
screenshot, like, you know, you can video screenshot or whatever. I can do that, but what I'm saying is, like, I don't know how to, like, this date at this time, like, we would have to sit through the entire day or whatever.
All right. So I want you to understand, though, if this is the case and it wasn't read and it was or wasn't captured and it was a misreading per se of numbers, that the usage was still there, it was just accumulated
right in
1 month.
And I completely understand that. I know that whatever goes through the meter, like, I am responsible for that and I have no problem with that.
So your problem is whether or not
I want to pay a fair rate. I want to pay it at the rate that I used it,
But looking at the numbers, if we were to take that $5,000 and divide it by 7,
Right.
If you're going to put all your whole year in this third tier.
She's already paid it, though.
Yeah,
that's
already
paid it.
No, I understand that.
But I understand what you're saying.
I understand what you're saying.
There's not going to be a reversal of money.
No, and I don't expect that. Like,
okay.
I genuinely don't. I didn't come here like, hey, you're going to pay my water bill for the next year. Like, that's not what
I
came
here
for.
That's my, what I thought, I'm going to be, I owe you an apology.
No, it's fine.
That's what I was kind of getting, is you were wanting
a
rollback of the money.
I 100% want to pay every dollar that I use.
Okay.
I just don't want to pay
that new information allows the person to apologize.
And I don't like talking to some people. Unless they're five.
You did a good job.
I can do a kindergarten result.
Okay, I need a motion.
I thought we were just going to table.
We're just going to. Okay. No. Basically, there's going to be no action taken other than she's going to review to see whether maybe you missed them reading the meter.
That's fine. Is there a way to get the exact date so we're not going through?
It's right here.
Right there.
Okay, it's already on there.
It could have been like the day before.
That's what
she
asked. Yeah.
So basically, what's going to happen is it's just going to be an investigation into the meter reading practice.
Okay. Yeah, no, I'm honestly totally okay with that. Like, I want to see what I use.
Okay. All right. And like I said, I owe you an apology. I thought you were coming at it a different direction. Okay.
Anyway, a girl can dream, right?
Here's your other bill.
Were some of your questions answered through all of this stuff?
Not answered, but I can see what's going on with her.
As far as public comment, we can hear what you have to say, but because it's not on the agenda, all we can do is listen.
Good.
And we can't do anything else. We can't make comments or decisions.
After we're done.
But if you want something done, you have to put it on the agenda.
We'll show you right now.
You have to get on the agenda. Mm-hmm.
Now, he did come to talk about the water bill today, and he would come to the board meeting. I don't know that it was too late to add it onto your agenda at that point.
Was it yesterday?
Yes.
Yeah.
I told you I was going to be here.
Yeah.
You had it changed on my agenda.
Yeah. Now, pretty sure that there is those readings. I have come in on a complaint before. I have not had Calvin come to my house and dig it out. I did have a young man come out from the back room and say, I take my job very seriously. I read your meter. And so then they send somebody to read my meter. Every month they put a blue tag and tell me what the reading was for 3 months. My bill goes down. Right after they stop doing that, start skyrocketing up little by little each single month. We've lived here since December 1990, and we have 6 in our house. There are 2 of us in the house now. Our bill was $211 this past month. If you can look at this little graph, if you guys can, July, see that little tiny bit? I didn't move out. I didn't use 300. Nothing changed. I did not move out of my house. I was there the whole month.
Our bill was $15.
Yeah, my bill was $15. What a $23 and change credit. She had the same exact credit on her bill. I didn't overpay you, so I shouldn't have a credit. She shouldn't have a credit. She didn't overpay you. So why are we all getting the same exact dollar amount credit? And why am I going from this to this, now paying 900 cubic feet at the $12 fee? Because you're not reading our meter. When I saw this little bit, I thought you guys finally read the meter because these over here were outrageous. I had 2 months in a row where they were the exact same month, a dollar amount to the penny. It was $166.24,
$166.24. How do I spend the exact same amount of water to the penny 2 months in a row? Now, I mean, I'm that good at, I'm pretty lucky at that, because I'm going to casinos, right? So, no, that's not the way it works. And before that, you have 150 some, 120, 130. For two people, my mom lives in Thermal. She has a pool, a good-sized pool. She has a good-sized front and backyard. Sprinklers go on three times a day. She gets water at the Coachella Valley Water District, $50 a month. And we have dead grass because they're not, the sprinklers aren't working half the time. And
they have to serve you once in a while. Our timer goes off.
Yeah, we used to have a backyard and a front yard.
Now we're just a front.
A front that's half it.
50 by 35.
Yeah. And
the timers go out twice. 35
minutes. You know, I put up with it because I'm not going to beat you guys, right? You guys are, you're not going to win with these because they always constantly say, well, no, it's that's what it is. That's what it is. You go see that Ellen lady. Oh, no, that's what it is. And so, you know, it's like, fine, I'm not going to win. I already know that. But when I see my bill come up to $211, and I see this little tiny tab here showing 300 cubic feet, and then I go up to 2,300 cubic feet, I'm pretty sure you guys can see that it's, something is wrong. Somebody's not reading my meter.
Every time I have to, just a couple of days ago, I had to replace some washer in the shower, and there was a good 4 inches of dirt on top of it. The other time I had to check it, that thing was level to the top. Now, I've laid asphalt for 44 years, and every time we put a couple of inches or whatever, we raise the box, you know, so that way debris, water does not get in there, and it's easier to read. And but every year, the guy with the blade comes by, pushes the dirt, that way you've got your flow lines on the street, and all that excess works its way into the box. Nobody raises the bar, which, you know, I've been in this business for years, and I know what it is, and it's easy just getting in there and raising those boxes. It won't be filled with debris, but every time I have to get in, I got it on film when I get in there, and there's a wheelbarrow sitting on the side. I had to show it so I could shut my valve off.
Well, that's the same problem.
Now, how do they read it? He has a video from 2018. This much from the top is not filled. It's this deep.
I understand, and I cleaned my meter off and looked at it because I have to check for water leaks because I have horses, and they break water lines all the time. So I'm looking at my meter, and I'm always having to move the dirt off of it, even on the following week. Because part of it is because of the county coming in with the blade. They've actually hit my meter box 3 times and pushed it underneath my fence.
Okay.
So no, but the meters do fill up with dirt.
Yeah.
They do fill up with dirt, and if we raise the meter box, then it's going to be sticking up, and the meter's going to be buried even worse.
Well, that's true just by dust and the blow. You know, it comes on both like crazy, but it's a lot easier to read if it's up above the dirt. You know, it's interesting, but so we get. But other than that, they're not reading it.
I mean, that's clear.
One time he came by and he honked, he laid on his horn, and then he peeled out. I guess that was to let us know that he checked it.
And the only time the bill is at a reasonable rate is when they're leaving the meter reading the tag on my fence. As soon as the 3 months are gone and they stop doing it, then it starts going up. Gradually. You know, 120, 130, 150. Come on, how can you have two bills the exact same to the penny?
We'll look into it, okay?
We've
exceeded the time that we were supposed to let.
That's why I said we don't win.
Wait a minute. I just said we would look into it. How is that not letting you win? Because you just brought something up.
No. We understand. But, like, if we're a couple of days late, quick to find.
Yeah.
We just want to let you know. He's not really checking it. If he is, all that debris would not be on top. But he has to check it once a month. And, you know, I
I've been in construction. It's a chore at times, but it's our job. You got to get it done right.
I can't, other than say that we'll have to look into it. That's all I can do at this point because it's not on the agenda. Restricted by the California laws that govern even the water rates.
Okay. Please get on the agenda so we can actually have a conversation about it. Like I said, for years, like, they'll tell you. Like, they're going to matter me because I'm like, no, table it because they're not here. They need an chance to get
so when will it, that's it?
But you have to be on the agenda.
Would you please make that an agenda item for next month?
So next month we'll come to the meeting.
And he's making a copy of the bills?
Yeah,
that's
right. Thanks. Yes, I mean, you can clearly see from 300 to 2300. I did move out. I was there the whole month.
And this is not a typical board meeting. We're usually done in, what, 40 minutes lately?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
this 40 minutes. Everybody's come today.
Yeah, we have a lot of stuff to deal with this month.
It's been a long time ago tonight. Yeah,
we will look into it.
Yeah. It has happened several times that I've asked them to come and leave the meeting leader. I've done that. I would say at least three times, and every time Bill comes back down, but then they're doing it again. Thank you.
Somebody needs you. It's going to take 5 minutes, she needs.
Call the children and tell them to ignite.
Yeah.
Oh, good idea. Well, I'm going to call my kids. She's up till 1 a.m. I can't.
I go to bed way before.
I go to bed so far ahead of my kids.
I'm going to call my sandwich and say hi.
Oh,
sandwich.
I have lasagna.
How do I say hi? I think the hero on here is that one. Have you seen all the stuff she said? Their pan was her like, heck, look at all these notes.
Holy cow.
This is a hero right here. Unsung hero right here.
You need to start short hands.
She needs to start putting miscellaneous discussion.
Yeah. I don't know. I think maybe I'm going to drill a well. Like, this guy doesn't even have a water bill.
Hmm? That's funny. I talked about.
Sorry, real quick.
Let me put this on pause.
Hello, anybody there?
Sorry, we're about to take another break.
That is what I meant.
How long is this break?
Five
minutes if you wanted to charge your phone again. Are we going
I'm
going to
try.
Phone?
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm
going
to hang
go
up.
We're going to close session, so we'll call you and let you know.
We're going to go into closed session right after this, so you could dial that other number that I gave you.
Very good. Thank you very much. Bye.